Mike Gordon of Fish joins us on the program. Mike.
Thanks.
How are you in this fine, beautiful Monday afternoon?
Great. Actually, yep, I had my day off after we did five in a row on this tour, which is, it's fun just to get the gears cranking like that. We're revved up.
Yeah. So you started right after Labor Day, didn't you? And you've been going every day since.
Actually, we started on the 8th, but, you know, I had just finished a Fish tour not too far before that. So I like this summer because I just get to play, which is what I like to do. So
good for you, man. And how'd you get this kooky cat over here, Scott? Where'd he come from?
Scott and I have done many projects together for over the last 15 or so years. And so we have a special connection. We've been doing some writing together, and this is a permanent configuration, this band, the way I see it. It's a lot of my other projects were just for one season, and the goal here is just for it to kind of build on itself, and so that's what we're doing.
So how many permanent configurations do you have, man? Just the you and Fish, and then the Mike Gordon band, basically the
it's
ones.
Just the two. Yeah. And then there's some collaborations like my Leo Kottke, so we'll probably do some more of that at some point, but yeah, I like to see it as two main things. And they're kind of opposite in a way. The challenges are opposite. With Fish, you know, it's been 25 years. So sometimes the challenge, the chemistry is incredible. You know, it's psychopathic, but the challenge is not to get in a rut of doing what we've always done, you know. So, and we've always been pretty good about changing and evolving. But that's a challenge there. And with this, it's sort of the opposite because we've been playing together now for 1 year. And so every turn is a new thing to discover in terms of how we play with each other. And because, you know, I'm all about improvisation and interplay between the musicians. And it's the world I come from where you actually listen to each other rather than just doing the memorized album rendition. And that's happening now. And so we're just, it's all about discovery. And then the chemistry thing is something we build over time. And my goal is to have them be so that they're, that they're mutually exclusive. So if you come to see my band, you're going to get sort of an experience that you would never get with Fish, and, you know, vice versa, of course. So that it's not just one thing kind of spinning off the other. That's my goal. And we're starting to do that. So anyway.
Well, dude, that's an interesting hookup with Leo Kottke. How did that all come about?
That was just another a lot of the big changes in my life have been because of visions I've had. I mean, not, you know, visual visions, but mini epiphanies. And with Leo, it was like that too, where I had been seeing him play for a couple decades, and I heard a song on the radio, and it just dawned on me that we would click. And so I made a tape. I made a tape of myself playing bass along with one of his songs, and gave it to him. And he thought it was the cheesiest thing anyone had ever done, and never heard from him for about 6 months. And then later he called and he said, you know, I actually like that tape. Let's get together and jam. And, you know, one thing led to another. Oh, right. He's not on a microphone. He's in the background.
That's
there.
That's quite right. So what happened there?
Well, same thing with Scott. I loved his guitar playing.
How'd you hear his guitar playing? Just
well, he played with a band called Max Creek. He's played for many years.
Oh, he's
in
Max Creek?
Years.
Okay, yep. That's Scott. Okay.
Yep, there he is. all the Fish guys used to, you know, go and check them out when we were just getting to college there. Trey ended up buying a guitar, his first one of his first guitars, because it was the same one that Scott had. I transcribed one of his guitar solos, and Fish ended up doing a gig with Max Creek, and I wrote it out, and I gave him the written music, and then I also recorded a tape with him playing, there is band playing on one side, and me adding the new solo, mimicking it on the other side. So yeah, similar thing. Beware the Mike Gordon transcription. It's coming your way.
That'd be fun to catch some of those on YouTube, but they're not there on YouTube or anything.
There is some crazy stuff on YouTube to be found, but not that exactly. Yeah.
You and Leo Kottke on YouTube?
I'm sure there is. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Really? Do you watch any YouTube? Do you go out there seeking?
I get the really funny, like the cat playing the piano one. And what's my favorite YouTube recently?
That one. That's right.
No, there's one that, I can't remember now. The kid of the dentist. Yeah. No, there's some. What was I playing the other day? Well. I have some favorite YouTube stuff that I just play over and over again. We were just talking about how, you know, where were we before YouTube?
Yeah. God, I know. Well, no, do you ever go look for Mike Gordon stuff on YouTube?
I don't go looking for it. You know, it's a funny thing about that. Fish got into this thing about not reading reviews because, I mean, sometimes you learn from it, but as an artist, you want to trust your own inner vision, and you know when you need to work on something and when something's going well, and you desensitize that if you start listening to what other people are saying sometimes. And other times it's good to, you know, to get some feedback. And I was going to mention, I don't know if I'm supposed to, but so at the, here's an example of the internet going crazy. A few gigs ago, I made a comment on stage. I said, I held up a drink and I said, cheers before the encore. And I said, I just remembered I'm allowed to drink on this tour. And so cheers. And then 2 minutes later, people are talking all on the internet, you know, because Fish is, we're having a sort of, we're all experimenting with sobriety these days. And it's so great. And the jams are even deeper as a result. And, you know, but that's crazy. I'm allowed to drink on Fish tour. And I was making a joke. And now on the internet, everyone's talking about how I'm evil and I hate my bandmates. And, you know, and it's just crazy. So that's why I don't go on. I don't read the message boards and all that, right. You know, I've had that happen a few times where huge misunderstandings led to, you know, it's crazy. But I like the idea of toying with it. So now I'm going to get on stage and I'm going to say, you know, well, on Fish tour, it's all huge plastic pigs and whipped cream and, you know, and I'm glad that I don't have to do that anymore. And, well, you know, I'm just going to play with the concept of media going crazy as much as I can. I think.
Right. Yeah. We can bleep this out, but that's called fucking with us is what that is.
As much as possible.
Yeah. As much as possible. That's the only way you can get away with it. Think about it. And everybody will know that you're doing it. And so that's good. That's so they can't kill you that way.
Yeah. They probably will anyway, but that's okay. Yeah.
All right, dude. So Mikey, when are you joining back with Fish and how long does your current tour last here?
This tour is a month. You know, I'm having the same feeling with both tours where I wish they were both more. A Fish tour ended and we wanted to be playing more. And this tour, it's a month long, which is a decent number. I think we have 21 dates and, you know, it's a good number. But I'm already sad about it ending when it and it's just beginning. Because, you know, you as you go along, the jams get deeper and you just you keep learning and from night to night about what to do. So anyway, it's not going to be too long after this one when Fish is doing our big Halloween festival in California. And then probably some more stuff, later in the year. And I'm also working on my own next album. So I'm trying to cram it all in. I also have I have a 10-month-old baby and I'm, so fun playing with her that I'm trying to leave as much time as possible for that too. And it's just a very busy, but very fun year that I'm having.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Tell us the rest of the guys in your band real quick that we can see tonight.
Yeah. Well, just right here is Scott Murawski on guitar. And then we have Todd Eisler on drums and there's a percussionist, Craig Myers, and, Tom Cleary is the keyboard player. So, yeah, man, we're playing right here in Raleigh. We had a great time, by the way. We played in Raleigh, a year ago and I have a hotline that fans call and they were saying that the Raleigh one was the one that they really liked. So there's kind of a special vibe about that room. And it's cool too, because on this tour, it's small enough where I can go out afterwards and hang out with all the people that, you know, I go to the merchandise table or wherever, or go to the bar next door and get some drinks. And that's really fun too, just getting to hang with people and see what they think, you know, or you know, if they were on Fish tour or whatever they want to talk about. And it's very cool for me. On Fish tour, there's too many security people and, you know, and, it's too much isolation, backstage and all that, but.
Right on. Okay, that's fantastic. Well, thank you, Mike Gordon. I appreciate it, Scott.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for playing for us. That's really great. And so you'll have a great one tonight, of course, again, at the Lincoln Theater in Raleigh. Showtime is whenever. You don't even ask anymore. Whenever. You know.
The artist will never know.
Yeah. No one's ever known. Yeah. Right? You can put a 10 o'clock on there if you want, but it'll happen when it happens. All right. That's great. Great.